Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
Anyway, Pastor Rich called me up Tuesday and asked me if I'd give a short mini testimony. And he caught me flat-footed, and I couldn't come up with any excuses, so here I am. Anyway, I gave my life to Jesus almost 50 years ago. Hallelujah. So I like to tell people, though, it's been a tug of war ever since. You know, when I first gave my life to Jesus, I didn't really realize what I was doing. But Jesus knew, and he's held me to it, and he's taught me, and he's teaching me every day. I just want to start real quick. I grew up in a family of 9 kids. Dad didn't do church. Mom was a Catholic, so I was raised in Catholic schools, went down here to St. Athanasius. Really had a heart for God at first. I actually went to a Catholic seminary, went away for 4 years to study to be a priest. Well, what happens, a lot of teenage boys, girls happened, and that kind of ruined that ambition. But nevertheless, that opened Pandora's box. So anyway, those people that have a Catholic background, and really I found out later it's just people really involved in any religion. You know, there's always this, you just got to do things. You got rules you got to obey. You know, you got to keep up appearances and whatever. And after I got out of high school, I just rebelled against all of that. Because I want to do what I want to do, what I saw my friends doing. So I ended up, drinking, ended up even experimenting with drugs. It was in the 70s, the drugs weren't quite what they are today, but ended up doing that. Ended up doing a lot of things. Ended up just rejecting God. And I rejected God because I knew deep down in my heart, if there was a God, then I'd have to be accountable. Wow. And I wanted to be able to do what I wanted to do. And so I'm not going to go into all the details of where that led me because that... I don't have that much time, and it would also embarrass me a lot. But anyway, one night I was out living that party life, out drinking. I had a car wreck, and my brother was with me. And that car wreck put me in the hospital for about a week, but it put my brother in intensive care for a whole month. He had a blood clot on his brain, and this was 1975. That gave him a 30% chance of living. And it's only by the grace of God that he's still alive today. I'm so blessed by that. But anyway, in the process of all that, I really spiraled into a depression. My life was out of control. I started isolating. And I couldn't even look people in the eye and have a conversation with them. It was that bad. And I just got so desperate, couldn't get a job. And finally, what I ended up doing was going to God in prayer. I didn't even believe that he existed, but I didn't have anything else. So I just asked, I said, God, if you exist, then please take this life because I've ruined it. And, I didn't feel any change, but that was it. That was a heartfelt prayer. I didn't feel any change. Heaven didn't open up and no angels were singing hallelujah or anything like that. But I can look back now, that was a watershed moment. And my life changed from that moment on. Now, fast forward real quick. About three or four months after that, I was home on leave from the Army because they were the only ones who would employ me. And so my brother, he was recovering, recouping. He was actually back to work. And... So he was seeking Jesus at the same time I was. He was wanting physical healing. I was needing emotional healing. So he wanted to go down to work and pick up some paperwork, so I got in the car with him. And, so I talked to him. And on the way down there, we were talking about Jesus. We were talking about how he died on the cross. And I was trying to get my head around that, What did that really have to do with me? And so... got to the parking lot, he went into the office, and I had a few moments, I kept thinking about that, and then it was like this, it was almost this image came before my mind of Jesus on the cross. And it was so real to me. I was standing at the foot of that cross, looking up at him, and he's writhing in pain. And as he's doing that, I reached up and I just slapped him in the face. Yeah, I know, a shock, right? But what that was a snapshot of what my life had been like. You know, he had done this, and my life had been this affront to him. And it was at that moment that it became personal. It was at that moment that I knew that if I'd have been the only person on earth, that he would have still done that. And so, you know, that just blew me away. And so it just broke me. I just started crying. And the next thing I know, that image just dissipated. And all of a sudden, it was as if Jesus was in that car with me. I mean, he wasn't sitting there in the driver's seat or anything like that, but I just knew he was there. And then I was filled with this warmth and this comfort. And I just knew I was loved. Wow. You know, and I just felt that. And not only was I felt like I was swimming in it. And even in the midst of the tears and everything, and then still feeling all of that, it was as if Jesus spoke to me. Now, he didn't use audible words, and I'm not one to go around saying, oh, Jesus said this to me or said that to me. But I knew this was from him loud and clear. And the best I can interpret, you know, what he was saying to me was that, I know you've done all that, but it's okay because you're mine now. And that was just the most powerful moment for me. But here's the kicker of all that. You know, after all that happened, and I had this encounter, and like I say, it was 50 years ago, and it's still very vivid to me. Even though I had that encounter, the kicker was I didn't tell anybody. You know, I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't tell my brother when he came out. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell any of my friends, even my Army buddies, none of them. And you think, why didn't you do that? Well, the reason I didn't do that is because I was afraid of what people would think. I was afraid they would think I was a fanatic or think I was exaggerating or lying or imagining it or whatever. And that's the real kicker for me, you know. I feared more what people thought, and I was more concerned about what people thought than what God thinks. And I'm just telling you, you know, we all have that. We all have that. But here is the beauty of Jesus, and here is why he is so gracious. He said, I'll take that. And he said, we will work on that, you know, for the rest of your life. But don't worry about it. We'll work on it when you're ready. Here's the amazing thing about Jesus, you know, and here's about our Father in heaven. You know, He's not afraid of your mess. Wow. Yes. He's bigger than your mess, and he can take it. He can take all of it. He's not disgusted with you. He's not disappointed with you. None of that. He simply wants you. I know I'm about running out of time here, so I'm just going to kind of wrap this up. You know, I've often heard people say that, you know, that they're not that good, and they'll say something like, well, if I came into a church, you know, the roof would cave in on me. But in reality, when they come into the church, the roof would open up and all heaven would rejoice. I like what Brennan Manning said. He said, God wants you as you are, not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. As a matter of fact, there's no one in this building that's as he should be. It took a long time for me to finally get my head around that, but I still struggle with that from time to time. You know, most of us in our heart think that if we can only change, then God will love us. But the truth is, God loves us so we can change. Wow. Yeah. I'm going to close right now with one more quote from Brennan Manning. I keep looking at Sam and waiting for him to gong me. Anyway, this quote I wholeheartedly agree with. He said, I'm coming to believe that when we die and meet Jesus, the one question that he's going to ask you, did you believe that I loved you? And I think, just take a moment right now. You know, do you believe that he loves you? Because that's the beginning of trust. Once you can get your head around that, everything, it'll revolutionize your life. You know, the way you see your father will change, the way you see yourself will change, and the way you see others will change. And that's all I got.
Good morning. I want to read a couple passages with you this morning. I forgot my Bible, but I brought all four of my kids. So it's a good day. Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I have another one, because the Bible is just that good. Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. It goes on a little bit more. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And those passages just preach themselves. It says the Lord is before us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is after us. He is omnipresent, and time does not bound him. And when I think about the goodness of God, my testimony, it's he was always with me. When I was formed in my mother's womb, he was with me. Before I even gave my life to the Lord, before I had the choice to give my life to the Lord, he was with me. And so when I think about that, he was my strength. He was my strength when I was battling that generational curse, when I did give my life to the Lord. He was my praise when I miscarried. He was my faith when we were moving. And he is my peace, my joy, And he allows me to be faithful in the things that I do. He allows me to be faithful in my marriage. He gives me peace when all four of my kids are pulling me in every direction. He gives me joy when I think about my unsaved family members, when I'm praying for them, when I'm with them, and they don't yet believe, but I can have joy when I'm with them so I can show them the goodness of God, and I can bring them to repentance because of the kindness of the Lord. He's my mercy when I haven't read my Bible in a few weeks. Anybody else? Am I the only one? He's merciful. He's merciful. He's my grace. His grace is sufficient in my motherhood. And his goodness is just all over my life. Does any of these things resonate with you this morning? Can you relate to the things that we go through in life, the trials, the tribulations? When I was praying about and thinking about what to speak about, there's just so many things. There's so many things. And so the overall theme is that God is always with me. God is always with me, and he's gone before me. He knows my future. He knows where I'm going. He knows what I'm going to go through, and he's already fought those battles. He's already fought them, and he gives me all of these things. He gives me the strength, the courage, the faith, the joy, the peace when I abide in him. When I abide in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gives me the fruit that can be seen from other people. So I do have a quick story. I have a friend from childhood. We were friends through middle school, high school. We actually worked together after high school, friends in college. We were really good friends, and we used to do things that people do before you give your life to the Lord together. So when I stopped doing those things, when I gave my life to the Lord 8 years ago, we stopped being friends, which is pretty normal, and it's okay. If you needed to hear that, it's okay to lose some friends if you're going to stop doing the things that don't honor the Lord. So we would keep in touch here and there. You know, hi, how are you? I think we kind of ended on good terms, but we just didn't speak. And I realized it had been over 3 years since I've actually spoken to this girl. So when I would speak to her, it was usually on social media. She would respond to a post. You know, it was very informal. And I haven't been on social media for a while. So I haven't spoke to her in a while. And just this week, so I don't think there's any coincidences in the things of the Lord. This week, she reached out to me via text message, because I'm not on social media. And she wanted to tell me that her 9-year-old son decided on his own to get baptized. And yeah, amen, praise the Lord. She said, I knew you would appreciate this. And I don't think I ever did anything. I don't think I ever said anything inherently. You know, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was a baby. I probably offended her. I don't think it was anything I did. But I'm telling you, that decision to pursue the Lord and give up everything and everyone I had known 8 years ago, it left an imprint on this girl. She has no idea what I'm doing. She has no idea where I am. But she remembered that I set myself apart. Sam tells this story all the time, so I'll tell the short version. I was actually at the bar with her, and Sam came, picked me up from the bar. He said, you have to leave. I wasn't even drinking. I was just there. And he picked me up. Sure. No, I really wasn't. But he picked me up, and he said, you know, we're doing this thing. Do you want to do this thing? Do you want to really give your life to the Lord? And I said, yes. And he said he remembers me not even going back in the bar and telling her I was leaving. I just left. I just left. Like, I just left the bar, and I feel like that is prophetic for the set-apart life that God had chosen me for. I didn't go back to say goodbye. I didn't go back to have one more drink. I didn't go back. Wow. And I just believe that was the goodness of God, that he set me forward, that he set me apart. And I just love that. 8 years later, she's going to church. Her son is being baptized. and she's thinking about me. When it wasn't easy, it was not easy. I was about to get married. She was all upset because I didn't choose her to be my bridesmaid. It was a whole thing. But I just believe that the Lord wanted me to tell you that when the goodness of God is evident in your life, the people around you will see it. And it will touch them too. The goodness of God, everything I just explained, is not only for myself, but it's for everyone around me. Every story is a testimony, and every testimony draws those around you closer to God. And so I just want to remind you that your testimony is not in vain, and God will use it for the saving of many. Sometimes you won't even see it. Sometimes you won't know. Sometimes you won't hear about it. But this story that I just shared with you is just a reminder that when you're steadfast and you're faithful in the things of the Lord, people know. People will remember, and people will change because you've changed. And so whether you're at the beginning, the middle, or the end, I want you to look for God in all of it. I want you to look for God. Look for the goodness of God. I want you to look for the goodness of God in your life. I know I'm up here. I was chosen to be up here. But the goodness of God is all over each and every one of you. And I know that every single person in this room has a testimony of the goodness of God. And he is still working in your lives right now. God is not far from you. He's close. He's closer. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's closer than you think. And all you have to do is cry out to him. All you have to do is open your Bible. All you have to do is pray. And he's right there waiting. So I encourage you to abide in God today, abide in Jesus, draw closer to the vine, draw closer to Jesus, and let the Holy Spirit be evident in your lives. There's no denying when there's fruit. And so I just pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life as he's worked in mine. It's been an 8-year journey, and there's just no looking back. I'm never going back. In Jesus' name, thank you.
So, but in Revelation 12:11, it says, but they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so we've heard God's faithfulness, and I just want to share a little piece. My name's Joshua Pell, and we've been coming here for almost a year now. And when we first stepped into the church, though, the thing that most impressed us and stuck with us was the authenticity, just transparent reality of we're sinners, we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. My name's not Jesus. So I don't make a good God, he does. And he makes our mess a way that we can share about his goodness. And so I just want to share with you a little bit about myself, my past, but what continues to come through, and Amy has said it, Ed has said it, you could say it as well, is just signposts all throughout Scripture of God's faithfulness, of his nudgings in our lives. So I grew up in a church, in church all my life, but I was exposed to pornography at the age of 9, and I knew that I never heard of anybody who talked about that openly, publicly in church. And so it was something that awakened something inside of me that was exciting, but it was also this deep shame. And so I just kept it a secret, and I couldn't beat it. And so I just decided at a really young age, no one would ever know. Moved here to Louisville in 2008 to get some formal Bible training in seminary, went to a military academy for my undergrad, sailed on merchant ships as an engineer, doubled as a rescue swimmer. So that passage in Psalm 139 of where can we go from his presence? Like the backside of the ocean, like the depths, doesn't matter. He was always there. And he was always there reminding me of his faithfulness. But it wasn't until the beginning of 2014, I actually got connected to a men's group who helped me work through this unwanted sexual addiction that I'd had for all of my life. And so part of the 12-step step work is to confess to ourselves, to God, ourselves, and another person, the exact nature of our wrongdoings. So I've been working with a sponsor and cataloging chronologically everything I could think of and put it out there on paper. And I did that. I confessed that out the beginning of 2017. And men around me said, I could never respect you more. I've never loved you more. And it was so counterintuitive to what I had concluded about being honest. And James talks about that to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another so that we can be healed. And that truth-telling, it's confession. Whether it's confessing about our sins, repentance, Sam mentioned it this morning in his prayer before the service. That's the start of revival, is when we confess, we pour out what's true. We're sinners, and that Christ died for us. And so through that process, 2 days later, after my fifth step, our pastor started a series on the Lord's Prayer. So I couldn't wait until, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But when he started with Our Father, it completely rocked me. That it wasn't about doing something to get something in return. I couldn't do enough, obviously. But it was Our Father. It wasn't a business transaction. It wasn't a condition. It wasn't an if I do this, then he'll love me. But it's just he loves. And so that's who our God is. He is our Father. We all have a father, an earthly father, and they did what they saw was deemed best in their own eyes. But he trains us up, and he does that for our good. He disciplines us for our good. He corrects us with something that's good in mind that we have no idea about personally. And after we've been trained by his discipline, by his ways, it yields this peaceful fruit of righteousness inside of us. And so it's a training, though. It's in Psalm 23, it talks about paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for my name's sake, but for his. And so he leads us in these paths of righteousness, these habits of righteousness. And I had a lot of habits of unrighteousness, but he swapped those around to begin a new work inside of my heart. I was driving to a business meeting over in Lexington, and I was getting on off of the Snyder onto 64. Nothing on the radio, nothing going on. And deep inside my heart, I just felt, Lord, I trust you. And it was different than anything else I'd ever experienced. And he began from that moment on to wake my heart up, to warm it up in a way that, and to trust him in a way that I had never trusted him before. I'd taught it. I could tell you from the Bible. I could explain it to you. I could pretend a lot. But as far as that honest, core level trust, that was very, very different. October 12th, of the same year of 2017, I was in a Bible study and going through this passage in John 5, a man who had been there ill for 38 years, and that was exactly on my birthday, and that was the passage in our men's group that we were going through. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to be well?" And the Holy Spirit impressed that I needed to be baptized. And I was 38 years old. I'd been baptized as a little guy. And why now? And I really wrestled with that. I struggled with it. I called my pastor I grew up with who baptized me. why should I do this? Like, explain to me why. I couldn't understand it. Like, I'd already been baptized. And he's like, Josh, he said, you can't drive a car down the interstate with a jack up underneath it. Like, you have to take the jack out and drive. Like, if, okay. And my counselor, he encouraged me to just get baptized. And so I was praying and fasting. I couldn't figure it out. A couple core relationships continued to tank while my life was on a different trajectory with the Lord. And Pastor Rich had asked us, hey, when was your all-in moment? And so I wrote into the chat, I said, my all-in moment was May 31st of 2018, when I ended a prayer and a fast, having been on the fence to get baptized. So that was October, like, all the way to May, right? I'm like, rrr. Submission, Sam had said something about submit. Like, I'm stubborn, but when it happens, then I'm all in. So, but the Holy Spirit nudged me to say, are you going to trust these people more, or are you going to trust me more? So I immediately called a friend of mine to set up me being baptized that day. And as I hung up the phone, the Holy Spirit reminded me, exactly 1 year ago today, you began trusting me. And so that was 7 years ago yesterday that that began. And so he says to come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's the Father's heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The enemy wants to separate us. He wants to question God. Like, did God really say? That comes all the way back from the garden. He's not a different enemy. The enemy is the same. And so the tactics that he uses are the same. Question God, isolate you, condemnation, shame, and fear. That's it. So you just, in your own mind right now, you can see the enemy's actions, his history, but our God, he connects us, he wants that union with us, and he is gentle and lowly at heart. His kindness leads to repentance. And so that's who our God is, and that's the mind that's set on the flesh is death, and I lived that for a long time, but the mind that's set on the Holy Spirit is life and peace. And he's the Prince of Peace. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. So I wasn't supposed to be named Joshua. My parents had decided on a different name. But when my mom first held me, she said, oh, hi, Josh. Like, and so my dad was like, well, that's his name. But the Lord wants us to be strong and courageous. There's nothing to fear because he's with us wherever we go. And so in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be revealed in Jesus. And the verse that was up there on the screen, that was a verse that the Lord really fixed my eyes on, because I needed to really hold fast. When everyone else who was closest to me was rejecting me, had abandoned me, was shaming me, rejected me, he said to hold fast to me. And nautically, that made sense to me. Like, when the storms come, because the storms will come, to hold fast. That's what sailors would say. Hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. And they would, because they would hold on to the tried things, the weathered things, the solid things. He is our anchor. And so he wants us to hold fast to him. There's nothing that can shake us when we hold fast to him, when we fix our eyes completely on the grace that's going to be revealed when Jesus comes back.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.